I was looking at our gospel passage today, and my goodness, isn't it incredibly different? I actually struggled. I'm like, what am I going to say? I was on the phone with Tia. Oh my gosh, what am I going to say? And so my sermon usually has some sort of a three-point thing to it. Today, I don't have 3 points. I only have one because I couldn't figure out 3 points. And I'll be speaking on the image of God, or the image we have of God. When I was younger, I had a mental image of who Jesus was. It came from my time in Sunday school. There was a picture on the wall with Jesus and the kids, you know. He had holes in his hands. He had a hole in his side. And he looked very European, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes. But it's changed since I was a child. It's no longer like that. For me now, I have a mental image of Jesus like a carpenter. Rugged and, you know, musky and dirty sort of a thing. He gets things done. That's sort of the image that I have in my head. And there's some more added on to it. So my question to you is this. When you think of Jesus, what image pops up in your head? What does he look like? What does he act like? Or here, I'll put a contemporary twist to it. If Jesus were alive today, right here, right now, who do you think he'd be? Would he be a teacher? Would he be a politician? Would he be a car salesman? Or would he be a priest? Would he be Anglican? Would he be Presbyterian? Would he be Pentecostal and very charismatic? Or do some of us believe that Jesus won't even take on the title of a Christian? Well, Christ is in his name anyway. Maybe he just might. When I was thinking about this, I did what every millennial would do. I went on Google. And I Googled images of Jesus. So you type in Jesus, you go on to images, and you know, there's a vast array of all the pictures of Jesus. You have some masterpieces. Right, and you have more contemporary images of Jesus, where he's Jesus in the movies, and a little artwork of who Jesus is. But they all had a common theme, and all these Jesuses looked very kindly and gentle. Now there were some suffering Jesuses, and some stoic Jesuses. But there were no angry or frustrated Jesuses. There's even one of Jesus arm wrestling the devil. Right? He's going at it with the devil. And yet, even in that picture, the Jesus had a sweet and kindly expression as he's arm wrestling the devil. Now, I don't know what your image of Jesus looks like, but given these depictions that I found on Google, the Jesus in our gospel today might come across as quite jarring, to say the least. Now, throughout the book of Luke portrays Jesus as a man of peace, as a man that brings unity, has come to bring Israel together, like a hen under with the chicks. Blessed are the meek, right? But then, all of a sudden, we find this passage where Jesus says, "I have come to bring fire to this world, and how I wish it were kindled already." And then he goes on to call his followers hypocrites. Not his opponents, not the Pharisees, but those who have come out, the crowds that have come out to see him, who have come out longing to get to know him. He calls hypocrites. These crowds that have come out are much like us who come to church. If I were to ask you why you come to church, you would all have different answers. But I think it would all converge at this one answer. We all come to church so we can draw closer to God. We all come to church so we can get to know God more. I think that might be a common thread in most of our answers. And as Christians, we insist that the way you get to know God is through knowing Jesus. If you want to know what God's plans and desires are for you in your life, get to know Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is God incarnate, God made man, Emmanuel, God among us. Get to know Jesus. So the more we know Jesus, the closer we draw to Jesus, the more we know God, the closer we draw to God. And so we can conclude the reason we come to church is so we can learn more about Jesus. However, I believe oftentimes we have a very superficial image of who Jesus is. We know him, but the image we concoct of him in our minds does not include the Jesus that we read in our gospel passage today. And neither does it include the images of Jesus that make us uncomfortable or that offends us. But if Jesus is the God of the Bible revealed to us, this means that this Jesus is the God of the Old Testament as well. The God that makes us uncomfortable, the God that does some really offensive things to us. We don't like that. We like the gentle, peaceful, kind, sweet Jesus. But that's not the real Jesus. Actually, look here. It's not the full and complete picture of who Jesus is. I like to think our superficial Jesus is somewhat of a wax figure. A wax Jesus. Now, it's like the wax sculptures of politicians and celebrities you'll find in the new wax museums. You know, these wax figures are obviously fake and they're not real. But neither are the images of politicians and celebrities who craft their image using media and image consultants. Now, it's obvious why politicians and celebrities might not want to portray their real image for their fans or for their political base. They want to be liked. Their intention is popularity. The more people like you, the more votes you get, the more roles you get in movies. And the more politicians and celebrities conform to the image that the people have of them, the more they earn. And so it might also be obvious why we want a Jesus who's agreeable with us. Why we want a celebrity wax Jesus. Someone who we like. Someone who we create. Who's not in the business of judging or challenging us. We want a divine yes man. Now, do you know the movie Yes Man, where Jim Carrey was the actor? It's a spectacular movie. I would say, if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. So Jim Carrey is challenged by this guru, say, to say yes to everything life throws at you. Everything. And so he says yes, yes. His life is going really great. He falls in love with a woman that he finds incredibly attractive, and he can't wait to like continue growing with her. But then, all of a sudden, his girlfriend at that time realizes he's just been saying yes to everything I've been saying. He's not being authentic in this relationship. There's no way that this relationship between him and her could go deeper and further if all he said was yes. Here's another example. I have a friend who's 72 years old. He's a blacksmith. And when I got married, he gave me his advice. He said, Noel, if you ever disagree with your wife, you don't want to. Don't get into an argument. Just say, yes, dear. Now, can you imagine a marriage and wives and husbands, like, if your partner or your husband or wife just said yes, dear, to everything you said, I feel some people will say I'd love it, but it doesn't lead to a deeper communion with them. It doesn't lead to a fulfilling relationship and a marriage, because you're not encountering the other person authentically if all they do is agree with us. In the same way, if God is our divine yes man, not challenging us, not judging our sins, it wouldn't be good if our goal is to draw closer to God and to have a deeper, fulfilling, authentic relationship with Him. If God is completely agreeable with our worldview, we in fact aren't drawing closer to God. We're drawing closer to ourselves. If Jesus doesn't challenge us and to ask us to try new things, if we don't wrestle with that call that God has claimed on our lives, then we would find ourselves stuck in some pretty big ritual, spiritual ruts. The trouble with a wax figure celebrity Jesus or a yes Jesus is that they're largely extensions of ourselves. We create them. You see, liberals have their wax Jesus. Conservatives have their wax Jesus. This might be a bit controversial, but Indians have their own, like, I'm an Indian, so we have our own wax Jesus, and the black community has their own wax Jesus. And because, you know, how the West had claim on Christianity for so long, they had their own wax Jesus as well. One that conformed to their own image. One that conforms to our own image. There's an episode in Oprah where she gives gifts away. I think she's giving cars away in this episode, I'm not too sure. And she says, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. In the same way, when we have our own wax Jesus, and you get a wax Jesus, and you get a wax Jesus, and you get a wax Jesus, all in your own image, created in the likeness of ourselves. If we create a Jesus who's in our image, saying yes to whatever we believe, we create an idol out of God, a golden calf. We don't encounter the authentic, living Jesus revealed in the Bible and who longs to have an authentic relationship with us. And so our gospel today challenges us to relate to a Jesus who's angry, who's saying, if you believe me, if you have faith in me, and if you want to follow me, then there will be consequences. You will have to change the way you live in this world because there is a cost to following me, and that might lead to divisions. Unlike the wax Jesus, who is gentle and kindly looking, the real living Jesus is full of emotion. Sometimes he gets angry and he judges the things we do. But it's nothing to be afraid of. Martin Luther once famously said, God's anger is his love burning hot for us. And there's no way we can encounter the forgiveness of our sins if God first doesn't judge our sins as sins. There's no way we can encounter the mercy of God if we don't say, yes, I've done wrong, and I need mercy, and I need forgiveness. We're challenged today by a Jesus who calls us out on our sins. And he calls us into a new way of life with him. See, God cares too much about us not to challenge us, because he cares about where we spend our eternity. If the Jesus we believe does not challenge our worldview, does not at times offend us, make us uncomfortable, we have to wonder, are we believing in a wax Jesus. Now, we know we believe in a wax Jesus when we think that we have God completely figured out. This is who God is. There's nothing that can change our mind. You see, the Bible, the fact of the matter is, we can never fully comprehend God, but we can apprehend a slice of infinity as revealed in Scripture. The second is like it. If we believe God is... We believe in a wax Jesus if we believe God is completely and unequivocally happy with the way we live. Now, like, come on. Who lives that perfect of a life? Except for Jesus, of course. God doesn't expect us to live a perfect life. But believing that lie, that we're good people and God is completely content with us, hinders our relationship with God. We become stuck because God can't move us. You see, with a wax figure, it doesn't move us. We move it. We manipulate the wax figure. But with the living Jesus, He moves us. He challenges us. He takes us to new frontiers. And the living Jesus is constantly calling us to a life of holiness. Be holy as I am holy, He says. We're not perfect. Heck, we're not even good. Like, when I look into myself, I see the sin that is a part of me, that is in my heart. That's why we even repent every Sunday. We'd say a confession in church. I see the brokenness in me. But God says the way to holiness is through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And as we draw closer to this Jesus, whose love burns hot for us, it burns away our sins. And it burns away the wax image. It melts the wax image that we have of Jesus. And He creates in us a new heart. And the refiner's fire makes us into a new person. My sermon ends with this today. How is the living Jesus challenging the way you live right now? And how is the living Jesus calling you into a deeper relationship and communion with Him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You are drawing us in. Lord, help us not be afraid of the love that burns hot, but help us draw closer to You, the living Word, who refines us, who calls us to live a life of holiness. Lord, help us encounter Your judgment, knowing that You are a God who is full of mercy and who desires that we draw close. We ask and we pray all of this in Your Son, Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.